Support for today's show comes from Skillshare.com. Now, Skillshare is a site where they have thousands of courses and lots of course instructors to help you not just simply professionally, but personally as well. I know I have a number of my classes there, and it's one price per month, and it's unlimited access to content. And they give you a 7-day free trial. So you can take all my classes that way. And if you decide not to renew, okay, you decided not to renew, I'm fine with that. But I'm just simply saying it's a place where you can learn and grow and not have to worry about spending hundreds of dollars for courses like so many instructors make you do. Again, use the link in the show notes, get a 7-day free trial. It will make a difference in your job search and so much more. And we'll be back in just one moment. This is No BS Job Search Advice Radio, episode 2154. I'm Jeff Alpin, the Big Game Hunter, and welcome again. And today I've got Career Coach Office Hours. And I'll just remind you, if you've got a question for me, email it to me at thebiggamehunter@gmail.com. If I don't get it to you during the week or an answer to you during the week, I'll follow up with you on coaching hours and you'll get your answer then, which is Friday. So again, thebiggamehunter@gmail.com. In the subject line, put the phrase Career Coach Office Hours or Office Hours, something that lets me know that you've got a question for me. And with that, we'll be back in one moment. So I'm back with Career Coach Office Hours, as I've been doing on Friday morning. I was about to do it at 9 a.m., but my son called. So I decided to take his call, chat with him a little bit, because he lives in the New York area. I don't. And, you know, we tend to talk while he's driving to work and when he's on his way home, because he's got an hour and change drive. So I'm back with questions from people who are looking for advice, and I haven't had a chance to get to it during the week. So if you've got a question for me, don't hesitate to reach out. The way to do it is you send an email to me at thebiggamehunter@gmail.com. In the subject line, put the phrase Career Coach Office Hours or Office Hours, something along those lines. So I know there's a question coming in and it's not one of my other emails. I'll try and get to it as soon as I can. And in this way, give you some of the advice that you may be looking for. So I've got 2, 4, 6 questions today. Woohoo! And the first one is, how do recruiters filter low-quality job seekers who apply for a job in hundreds of companies? Well, if someone's applying for a job in hundreds of companies, that lets me know right away that they are low-quality job hunters. Now, one way I know that companies do it is when the person's applying to multiple positions at their company, they can label the candidate or the application as a serial applier and basically block the person because their resume is garbage to them. So I remember I interviewed someone for my other show, Job Search Radio, some years ago. And he told me that in his hospital, there are people who are applying for director jobs and janitor jobs, or that kind of a disparity in range. So, and a lot of things in the middle, and they really didn't have skills. So he would block them because why should he be looking? He's already looked 3 times at 3 different resumes, the same resume, and there was really nothing for them. So they use systems to filter. And sometimes with the applicant tracking system, the system itself is going to block the application as not being qualified. Now, at multiple companies, if the applicant tracking system is being used by, let's say, 150 different firms in a particular market area, in theory, the system can block it from all of them, but I'm not aware that many firms really do that. Because what might be good for another firm may not be good for you, et cetera, et cetera. So the idea simply is, you know, what can recruiters do? Well, they can block someone. so their resume never gets through. They don't really care about what happens at the other company. All they care about is what happens to them. And as I illustrated with that one example, they'll take care of it. Question number two is you apply to a big company but decide to reject the job. Do you get put into a negative candidate list so you can't apply to other jobs there? So I'm going to answer this in two parts, on this job cycle and in future job cycles. Those are the two ways I'm going to break that up. Now, it starts off with the maturity with which you turn down the offer. Like if you ghosted the firm and just didn't show up on day number one, I could see them blocking you altogether. But once this is decided to reject the job, that's the way it's explained, I interpret that as you did it in the correct way. They made you an offer and you said no. So in this particular job cycle, they may not want to see you again for other positions, unless there's really a tight fit, unless you have a referral to that hiring manager who wants to hire you. But if you're applying, probably not. In the future, probably no problem, unless you did something bad, like ghosting, like not returning phone calls, things like that. Then they could try blocking you. Number three, is it a good or bad idea to mention 20 years of experience on a resume? What's a better way to say it? You're right. You know, 20 years sounds like too much. Now, even though what we're talking about is a person in their 40s, because if you started at 2022, in a career, you're 42 at this point, then 20 years of experience isn't terrible. Like, you know, I have 40 years of background in search. That's a lot, right? So the way to say it is to focus in on the skill that the firm is looking for, and describe it as significant experience with. Or let's say it's part of your resume and you have a 20-year background. I'm assuming you're talking about the summary area of the resume where you're thinking about 20 years of experience as, let's say, a project manager. What's a better way to say it? Significant project management experience, significant development experience, significant cost accounting experience, something along the lines that uses significant. I'm also a believer that in cover emails, if you're sending this as an email, or in an applicant tracking system where you can make it page one of for your resume, you create a cover letter that kind of mirrors the job description. I'm forwarding my resume to you for such and such position. This is how my background matches up with the requirements and functionality. And thus, flush left is the requirement or the experience or the functionality of the job. Flush right is how long and how recently you've done it. And that targets in on more of what they care about, not your overall 20 years of experience. And because if you think about 20 years ago, that's like the antiquities, right? So what you did then isn't really relevant to today. Focus in on the today and talk about significant experience with. Number four, what should I do when I send a lot of job applicants applications and receive many calls for interviews at one time? Well, what I would say to you is, you got to get ready for your interviews. You start scheduling them, but you got to start planning for your interviews and preparing for them. Let's assume that these jobs are similar. That gives you a big advantage because your stories can be pretty consistent. But the idea is to practice interviewing and to learn how to really interview well. You may think you interview well, but this looks like a question from a less experienced person. So most less experienced people don't interview as well as they think they do. As a result, I tend to think in terms of prepare for interviews, and that's in two ways. Number one, I would encourage you to order my course, The Ultimate Job Interview Framework. You can order that at thebiggamehunter.us/interviews. And you can order as a paperback or Kindle book on Amazon. I'd also say mock interviews will help you too. I have mock interviews available at thebiggamehunter.us/mock. There are free interview questions there and many more if you do the paid version, which I also take the time to review your answers for. So whichever way you do it, it's time to start practicing. And with each firm that's contacting you, you basically say, hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you reaching out to schedule me. How long do you expect the interview is going to take? Because I want to make sure it works with my calendar. And can you confirm the nature of the position with me? So that in this way, I'm able to prepare for the interview. And that will give you the information that you need in order to get ready for the interview, as well as coordinate the logistics. Number five, when applying to jobs, should I apply to multiple software positions at the same company at the same location, or would I essentially be spamming HR? Great question. It's a subtle one. So the probability is the same recruiters It's unlikely you're going to be qualified to do more than one type of job. So, for example, if you were a developer with a particular language, you're probably not qualified to be a developer in another language. Your strength is in one, not in the other. Stick to the ones that you're strongest in. If it's strong in one, and they're looking for the other one as a secondary one, you might just simply, as part of your email to them, say, I saw multiple positions that my background fit, and I wasn't sure whether I should forward more than one resume. So I'm going to send one for now with the hope that I hear from you, but I believe I'm qualified to do, and most of these positions are going to have an ID code associated with them. Include the ID codes with your response so that in this way, they know what jobs you saw that you thought you might be qualified for. The hard thing with this is if there are there are qualifications for one type of job a little bit different than another, where they want stronger in one skill and versus stronger in another, well, they're going to see the difference. And you can't say, I'm equally good at. They just won't believe it. So focus in on the ones that you're most qualified for. Let's assume there are five. Let them know which jobs you saw that you're applying for, so that they can help guide you. Last question for today. What do interviewers look for as warning signs or automatic dismissals when meeting with potential employees? Oh, there's just so many. But one thing I know that interviewers develop is a well-honed BS detector, because you're not the only person they've spoken with. Let's say you're talking to a corporate HR person, for example, or even a third-party recruiter. They've talked to people from your company at some point. So they have a sense of the environment, and thus they can smell the BS. And hiring managers can do it as well, because they've certainly interviewed people who work for your firm too. So they can spot incongruity between what you've said and what you've actually done, because, like I said, they can smell BS. Let's go further here. There are things in your background that you're not going to explain all that well. You're not going to appear comfortable. You're going to signal nervousness in your answer, and they'll pick up on that. So understand, it's not just what you say that matters. It's going to be how you say it that's going to be important, and they'll be able to detect the BS that's going to cause you to be rejected. And you'll sense it too, because they're going to dig in deep on something. that's going to cause you to feel uncomfortable and squirm, because they believe they know that you're not telling them the truth. So lies is really the big thing. So I'll go a different level. On different types of positions where there's appearance issues, that is, they want someone who looks well. I'm not talking about white or black or you know, Asian looking. I'm talking about how well you dress, how well you speak, how cogent your ideas are. They're going to listen to what you say and how you explain yourself in order to make decisions. I hope you found this helpful. I'm Jeff Altman. Again, Career Coach office hours are Friday morning in the area of 9 a.m., unless my son calls, in which case I take the call. Fundamentally, it's a time where I answer questions I've received during the week that I haven't had a chance to get to. Again, email me at thebiggamehunter@gmail.com. In the subject line, put the phrase career coach office hours or office hours. So this way I know what it's about. So that's today's show. I hope you found it helpful. And if you did, here are a few things I can do to help you with your job search beyond simply being your coach. First of all, I've got a new book out called The Right Answers to Tough Interview Questions. It is like a cookbook with answers to tons of interview questions that you're going to be asked on interviews. And if you pair it up with my other new book, The Ultimate Job Interview Framework, they are a terrific pair of books to help you with interviewing. In addition, a new service where you can practice mock interviews. If you go to thebiggamehunter.us/mock, I've got a service there, very inexpensive, like $99, where we have mock interviews set up. I'm going to be adding more to it very soon, but you can record your answers to them, and then I can critique them and help you perform better on them. You probably have noticed my show notes are pretty thorough with products and services that can help you with your search. And connect with me on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/IN/TheBigGameHunter. Lastly, my website has a ton of great information. That's thebiggamehunter.us. Now, if you're not ready to go there and go through the blog, put the address in your phone, thebiggamehunter.us, Jeff Altman. So this way, when you're ready to go, you have a way of getting back to my website. Hope you have a terrific day, and most importantly, be great!